But the title of this message is, It Will Come to Pass. Or if it's more correct, you could say, It Shall Come to Pass, whichever one, doesn't matter to me. But go with me to 2 Timothy, because we need to have a foundation on which we function, which we believe, what we think. If we don't have a solid foundation, everything will be wobbly and we'll have a hard time standing, if we stand at all. So 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, 17, in the Amplified Classic Bible says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and actions. Everybody say, why? So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there isn't a good work that'll be placed upon you that you won't be thoroughly equipped for. Because it says, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Numbers 23. Another part of the foundation, because this is, we have to know this and believe it. God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither the Son of Man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? What God says, he does. Period. In 1 John 5, still in the Amplified Classic, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, if we make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. We positively need to know that since God listens to us in whatever we ask, we know that we have as our present possessions the request we made of him. So when we say it to God, it's we may not tangibly receive it right now, but it's as if we did. And you have to ask yourself, do you believe God's word is absolutely true? Do you believe you'll get everything that God promised? Do you believe that God cannot lie? And I'm presumptuous enough to believe that the answers to all those questions, you said yes. You believe God's word is absolutely true. You believe you'll get everything God promised. And you believe he can't lie. And because you believe that, there's no reason to be stressed out, because we're wondering, when is it going to happen? We get stressed out wondering when. And wondering when causes us to wonder, did God hear me? And if it, well, I know God hears me, then it's, well, is he going to honor my request? Well, he said so already in his word. He said if he promised it, he'll make it come to pass. If he said it, he'll do it. And he can't lie. So whatever he says, he has to follow through, because he is incapable of lying or even acting like he's lying. And what has happened, and what gets us all unraveled, is that because we haven't received an answer, or we haven't received what we think is a timely answer, or we don't like the answer, we get ourselves worked up and we make some terrible choices. Terrible choices. Because we're impatient. Truth be told, we really don't want to know when. We want to know now. We want it now. We don't. We say when, God, when, but what we're really saying is now, God, now. That's what I want. I want it now, Lord. And the simple truth is, if we got it now, guess what? We'd lose it now. Because if we don't have it, it's not the right time. And if we believe we have settled in absolute knowledge that God will do what he said he would do, what's the problem? Why are we focusing on what we can't see when God promised us that we will see? I go with what God said. If he said, I'm going to see it, I'm going to see it. I was sharing this with someone yesterday. I said, if you were traveling and your vehicle broke down, and those of you that are traveling and listening, your vehicle's nothing's going to happen to it. I'm not prophesying. But if you couldn't get it started, you'd call a tow truck. And the tow truck would come, hook your car up, drive it. You're sitting in the tow truck, and you're passing through an area, a neighborhood. You just because you broke down in that area doesn't mean you have to stay there. Yes, you're going to see it as you leave. You're going to see it. What am I trying to say? The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So you still have to get through the valley. Just because you see the valley, just because you see what effects the valley may have had on other people, that's not you. That doesn't mean you're going to go through it. You may go through some rough neighborhood sitting safely in the tow truck and they're towing your car through to a repair shop, but you have to go through. And we need to understand that just because God promised, he never promised that we would never go through anything. As a matter of fact, he had Jesus tell us just the opposite. Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulations. Some translations say you will have distresses, you will have frustrations. But he says, be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. So as you wait for the manifestation of the promises of God, you don't have to concern yourself about anything because Jesus has it covered. And we need to understand that. God's got us covered. We need to learn how to wait on the Lord, to wait on God's timing, because he has a timetable for everything. Look at Ecclesiastes 3. Very familiar scripture. To everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time to peace. When you think about what those verses are saying, all of those things will happen, but they won't happen until the time for them to happen arrives. We need to understand that. When there's a time to be loving, there should be no hate. When there's a time for hating, there should be, it's because there's no love. I remember several years ago, probably around 2016, I think, 17. We had a brutally cold winter, and it seemed like it was going to go on forever. Some people got depressed because they got tired. Everywhere they went, it was snow and ice, and some got angry because of the weather, like that was going to change things. Some folks left town because they were tired of the cold. So they headed south or to some tropical region because they wanted warm weather. But they should have been rejoicing because of a promise from God in Genesis 8:22. I mean, that's what I did. He said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." So I took the position, the earth is still here, so sooner or later, heat and summer is coming. I just have to wait for it. When our founding pastors were believing for a building, because they received notice that the lease where they were of the space being rented was not going to be renewed, Pastor Clinton was, "We need a building now." And they being great people of faith, Pastor Sarah, she knew we needed the building now, but the Holy Ghost gave her something. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 to 4. King James Version. He gave Pastor Sarah this, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry." Well, how do you know it won't tarry? Because God said so. And for Pastor Sarah, that was as sure as if she had the keys to a new building in her hands. I'm going to read in a couple other translations. This is the Good News translation. "The Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly on tablets what I reveal to you so that it can be read at a glance. Put it in writing because it is not yet time for it to come true." Interesting. "But the time is coming quickly and what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will certainly take place and it will not be delayed." The Living Bible. "And the Lord said to me, write my answer on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance and rush to tell others." And I was thinking, why do we rush to tell others? Because when you believe something and faith kicks in, your faith will not allow you to remain silent. You're going to have to tell someone about it. You're going to have to keep talking about it. You're going to keep professing it. Verse 3, "But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient." Just be patient. "They will not be overdue a single day." Now, all that had to happen was for Pastor Sarah's faith to kick in, because when faith kicks in, you act like it. So Pastor Clinton, he asked Pastor Sarah, he said, "You know, I really wish you wouldn't say that, because we need the building now. We don't need it for some appointed time." And Pastor Sarah, willing to yield to the senior pastor and president of the corporation, went up to the microphone and picked up the mic fully with the full intention of doing what he asked. And when she opened her mouth, guess what came out? "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and at the end it will speak and not lie, and though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry." Now, she wasn't being disrespectful or disobedient, but she was so full of faith, the only thing that could come out of her was words of faith. The only thing that can come out of her mouth were affirmations as to what God had told, showed her through his word. Her faith caused that promise to get into her spirit, and it dominated her thinking. It's filled her heart, and out of the abundance of her heart, her mouth spoke. We can take a lesson from that, folks. When God shows us something, we need to take it in and become filled with it. Let it fill our hearts. Because when it fills our hearts, when we open our mouths, we'll speak words affirming that which is in our heart. When you start feeling down, you start wondering, is it ever going to come? You say, wait a minute, what am I thinking that for? God said it's going to come. Of course it's going to come. Whatever the contrary thoughts try to infiltrate her thinking, she will remind the devil of what God has said. Devil, I don't care what you said. My father said the vision is yet for an appointed time, and when it speaks, it will not lie. And he said it'll be here, it'll surely come, and it won't tarry. So regardless of how you may feel, folks, if God's promise has not yet arrived, and you may want it now, but the truth is you don't need it now. Why can I say that? How can I say that? Well, God said, I shall supply all your need. That has to mean if there was something that we really, truly, genuinely needed, he'd supply it. So if it's not supplied yet, guess what? It's not yet needed. It's not yet needed. How can I say that? Well, we believe God's word is absolutely true. We believe we'll get everything that God promised, and we believe God cannot lie. Well, if God's word says it will surely come, guess what? It will surely come. When? When it's supposed to. Because God's word says, just be patient, they will not be overdue a single day. He says it will certainly take place and will not be delayed. So if it hasn't come, you don't need it. And you just remain patient. Yes, the ministry needed a place to hold services, but we didn't need it in 1984. We didn't need it then. We were informed then, but we didn't need it then. We needed it in 1985. And in June of 1985, we moved into this building. Paid for. See, when you have a promise from God and you don't allow faith to come in and embrace it, your patience, your peace, your ability to wait gets kicked out, and you become anxious, frustrated, annoyed, and rebellious. Say all of that? Yes. Because you get frustrated and you think God needs help. Or he's taking too long. And we try and put God on our time schedule. Well, that's why some people get into debt. Because they want now what God promised they would get later. That's why some people marry the wrong person. Because they've been believing God for a mate. And they want a mate. And they start looking at and making their choice based on external things. Oh, their eyes. Her smile just melts me. They deceive themselves into believing that that person is your gift from God. Well, you're partially correct. It's a gift from a God. But it's not a gift from your God. Because our God doesn't tempt us. And the Bible says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his or her own lust and enticed. We have to get away from readily accepting things, telling ourselves it's God, because we feel we've waited long enough. We change the scripture that said, because it tarries, do what you can to make it happen right away. That's not the way God operates. He means what he says. He says what he means. And he expects we, his children, to take him at his word, because he's already told us he cannot lie. He knows what we need. He said, before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew all about us. He knew every detail of our lives. Every detail. Every thought we're ever going to think. Every decision we were going to make, he already knew. They tell me that our bodies have an organ, if you will, that it doesn't need. Appendix. And I remember doing some research, finding out what was the purpose of an appendix. Did God just put extra parts in the body for surgeons to practice? You know, because, well, what's the purpose of an appendix? Well, you can look it up for yourselves, but the appendix had a part in helping us digest raw meat. Here's what I find interesting. If you check Genesis, God said, I gave you every herb-bearing seed that'll be meat for you, that'll be food. He never designed it, and I don't say Pastor Greg said we need to go vegan, that's not what I'm saying. But God's original plan, we weren't eating meat. So if we weren't going to eat meat, why do we need it? Why did he need to give us an appendix? Because he knew all about us, and he knew we were going to venture over into eating meat, and he didn't want us to die from it, so he gave us something that can handle raw meat. He said, well, you don't need your appendix these days. Well, people don't eat raw meat. We cook our food. But God loved us so much that he put something in us just so we wouldn't destruct ourselves. For whatever reason. When I thought about that and I think about that, how can I not care for people? My father cared enough for me to give me something that I ordered, or in normal circumstances I wouldn't need. But he put it in me because he knew that I was going to miss it. He put some things around all of you because he knew you were going to miss it. And he doesn't want us to come to destruction. So you think you look up appendix and see if it bears witness to you. But I'm going to read quite a few chapters here, verses in Genesis. Well, more than I normally would share. Because I just want to show you how God made a promise to Abram and what happens when you don't hold on to that promise. But before I tell you that, let me tell you this. It was probably 10 years ago, going by the age of our grandchildren. We had 10 of our grandchildren at our place for a week. 10. No, it wasn't the Wild Wild West. Everything was decent and in order. And one of the places we went was to an orchard. In this orchard, they had peach trees, apple trees, vines of corn, blueberries. I mean, you name it, they had it in this orchard. And as we're walking through, I'm looking around, and underneath the trees and around all around the orchard were fruit or veggies that were partially eaten. Some just had one bite taken out of it and just tossed on the ground. I'm thinking, that can't be animals. Not going to go up there and pick the apple off the tree and take one bite and drop it. And I talked to one of the caretakers at the place, and they said to me, well, what happens is some people, we tell them which trees they can pick from that are ripe, but they don't. They pick from wherever they want, and they bite into it. And because it's not ripe, it's bitter, they throw it away. I was thinking about that this afternoon. Now, this happened about 10 years ago. I'm thinking about it this afternoon. Because there were some folks that were not willing to wait for God's timing for this fruit, wasted what could have been someone's provisions. Something that could have been prepared and given to someone else. What could have sustained someone else, wasting away because somebody was impatient or didn't follow their right instructions. Then you have all this food that should have been used to nourish someone's body, wasting away. Folks, we need to understand and appreciate God's timing, because you can put yourself in a position where you're, I don't want to say wasting away, but you're wasting a lot of time. You're wasting a lot of time, and you're making things take longer than God intended because you're impatient. And you're making yourself get frazzled and have other health issues because you're impatient. You either grabbed it too soon or waited too long. The reason I started reading Genesis, or I want to share some verses from Genesis, is God made some very dynamic promises to Abram. But Abram didn't latch on to them. He didn't grab on to them. He started looking things based on the natural. So I'm going to go through these. I'm going to try and do it quickly. In Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, away from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land I will show thee." I thought that was interesting, what God was doing. From what I see, he was taking Abraham, sending Abraham away from people who would say things contrary to what God instructed. Well-meaning people, especially family members, will say things to you to imply that God doesn't do that. I have misplaced my ear pods on a couple of occasions. One time, I don't know what happened to it. It was in my ear. I forgot it was in my ear. At the end of the day, it was gone. I don't know what happened to it. I started looking up pricing to buy another one, and I said, I'm not spending the money for one earpiece is what I call it. And I said, Father, I repent for being careless. But that's my ear pod. bought with money that you provided for me. And I'm calling it back in Jesus' name. And people were telling me, just get another one. They're on sale. I said, I'm not buying another one. Well, while I'm still waiting for the left ear pad to manifest, I go and have surgery and have my knees replaced. And when I get ready to leave the hospital several weeks later, my right earpiece was gone. And they said to me, we believe it was taken up when we stripped your bed and taken to the laundry. And I said, well, go to laundry and get it back. They went there. They said, sir, I'm sorry, but it's it's not there. So now the whole set is gone. I'm still not buying. I prayed the same prayer. Father, that's mine. I don't know what you have to do to get it back, but I want it back. About 3 weeks later, I'm home, and something rolled under a chair. And I slowly got down, had to get pillows and put under my knees. Looked under the chair, there was my right iPad, iPod, earpiece. And I got excited, I thank God for that. 2 days later, I'm sitting in my chair and I look down on the floor and I saw something underneath the coffee table. I got down, had to get my little grabber to get it. It was the left earpiece. 3 weeks ago, I misplaced it. Because now I had the complete set, I misplaced it. And folks laughed at me. He's just so careless. I said, I'm not careless. I'm not putting those words out about me. Father, I repent again. I was careless. I didn't take good care of these. You gave them to me originally. You restored them. And I messed up again. I repent. But devil, just because I missed it, you still don't have the right to take what's mine. So I want my iPod, my earpods back. They came back this morning. Here's how they came back. I was getting dressed. I said, yeah, I'm going to wear a black turtleneck, black pants. And I was a vest that I had that had multicolors in it that I wanted to wear. I went to my closet and I heard, take the red one. And I'm like, it's bulky. I don't like the way it fits anymore. But that... I didn't hear anything else after that. I better get the red one. I put it on. I went to zip it up, and I hit something, and something was in my pocket. I reached in my pocket and pulled out my earpods. I would have never found them in there on my own. Never thought. I can't tell you when I put them in there or if I put them in there. All I know is sitting on my desk in my office is my case with my two... the left and right earpiece in them. Now, my wife gave me a set of earpods for Christmas. I refused to open them and use them because I wanted the other ones to come back. And I wasn't willing to take a substitute for them. I wanted what I wanted. And because I was willing to wait and let God do what he had to do, I'll tell you one more. I may have shared this one with you before. Several years ago, I was on the way home from work. I wasn't working here. I was designing and selling burglar alarm and security systems. I got a call from my wife. She was very upset because... she had inadvertently knocked her ring into the commode and flushed it. And after I hung up from her, I immediately went to store and bought her another ring just to let her know a ring's a ring. You didn't flush the marriage down the toilet. But we got together and we called it back. Didn't think about it. Called her back, and that was it. Continued to use the commode, everything. Several months later, it was in the morning, my wife went into the restroom, went into the bathroom, and I heard her scream. But it wasn't a scared scream, you know, it was one of those shocking screams. I went into the woods, and she's pointing down into the toilet, and in the commode was her wedding band. We took it out, cleaned it, disinfected it. That's the one she's wearing today. Why did that happen? We believe God. We didn't come back right away, but we didn't let go of what we believe God would do. And he did it. He told Abram, get out of that, the house, the country, from near your family. Get away from your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. What? He didn't want negative stuff around Abram. He said, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And in verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord. And I'm thinking he must have forgotten what he did, because when they ran into, it's amazing how fast time flies when you're in this room. But he ran into a famine. There was a famine in the land, and he went down into Egypt. God didn't tell him to go into Egypt. He had to lie. He felt he had to lie to be safe, because his wife was good looking and they figured they would kill him to take his wife. But if God said, well, I should say, since God said, unto your seed I will give this land, and he didn't have any seed yet, then he wasn't going to get killed. Because how's he going to make seed if he's dead? He wasn't thinking about what God said. He was thinking about what he saw, and what he saw was the Egyptians. And what he was believing was what we heard the Egyptians do when they find people that they like, and he focused on that. We have to get away from focusing on what other people say and focus on what God says. But when he left Egypt, there was an addition to his travel group. Hagar. At the time, seemed harmless. She was willing to be his wife's servant, and that's what she became. However, when you go down to chapter 15, starting with verse 2, Abraham said to God, What will you give me, knowing that I go childless? And the steward of my house, the man of my house, is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. But God said, that your seed is going to be great. And you're saying, God, but you haven't given me any. The timing wasn't right. But God said, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, now look toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So he said that his seed would be like trying to number the stars. If Abraham believed it, he should have just relaxed and let it happen. But naturally, he told his wife what happened. His wife, she was barren. She didn't bear any children. But she said to Abraham in verse 2 of chapter 16, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And then it says something shocking. And Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. That's why we have tension in the Middle East today. Because from that union of Abraham and Hagar, that offspring and the child of promise, Isaac, became opposing forces. And that's why the Middle East is in the shape it's in. Why? Because Abraham wasn't willing to work. He wasn't willing to work. But he had to bless Ishmael because he told Abraham his seed would be blessed. It would become a great nation. So yeah, he made Ishmael a great nation. He had to keep his word. He couldn't go, oops, no, I didn't mean him. If he said it, he'll do it. He said he would make Abraham's seed great. He had to do it. And he did it. Even though he knew, according to the scriptures, that Ishmael would be a wild man. I shared that, again, to let you know, because when Abraham was 100, or close to 100, his son was born. And in the natural, that seems ridiculous that that should happen for people that old, past the point of childbearing, past the point of being able to produce a child. Yet they did. Why? How could they do that? God said so. And he's not a man that he should lie. Didn't matter if it took him 25 years to fill it, to fulfill it. He never said it would happen tomorrow. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do with you. This is what I'm going to do on your behalf. The promise of God is sure, even if he doesn't give a time frame. His promise is sure. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Put it in writing, because it's not yet time for it to come, but the time is coming quickly, and what I show you will come true. The things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, don't despair, for these things will surely come to pass. It will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. So then when you move into the New Testament, people are people. And Paul had to tell the Galatians similar things. In Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10, in the Message translation, he says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. In Hebrews, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast. I did a little illustration Sunday where I had a resistance band. And I have to just take the band, pull it this way, and just hold it for 50 seconds. After about 20 seconds, I'm holding it, and my arms start going like this from the tension. But I can't let it go. I can't stretch. I got to just pull it and hold it. Why? Because the strength that I need to correct the issue with my back, my lumbar and cervical spine, come from holding, not stretching. Yeah, I have to stretch, but then I have to hold on. The stretch is like the promise. Holding on to it activates the promise. Where after just three sessions, instead of like this, I'm like this. From holding the stretch, just holding. Everything I do there, except with the hand bike, is holding. There's one I have to do where I have to lay down, hold my hands out to the side. No, hold my hands like this, and turn it over and let my neck follow my hand, and I have to hold it and then do it again on the other side and hold it and do it again on the other. But because I do that, I have much better range. And I could do this with no pain. As I keep holding, I keep improving. When we hold on to our faith, the realization of what our faith can accomplish illuminates. I didn't know I could hold on like that. But if I could hold on here, I can do the same thing over there. Yep, that's right. Then if I can do it over there, then I can also do this. Yep, that's right. And you start getting excited because you've become this great faith person because you held on. The scripture says hold fast. That means hold tight. Don't let it go. For he is faithful, that promise. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We shouldn't have to ask God when we will receive. He told us that we will receive, and that should be enough. So when you think about it, when we add faith to what God promised, we're not thinking when or how long, because our faith gives substance to God's promise. Our faith, I'll close with this statement, our faith will always bring God's promise into reality. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor and praise. Thank you for letting us know that what you said will come to pass. All we need to do is hold on and wait for it, because it will surely come and it will be on time. We thank you for your Holy Spirit to give us a revelation of the words we heard this evening and show us how to apply them to different situations and remind us in different situations, this is time to hold on. This is time to be strong. This is time to just wait, because God promised that it will come to pass. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Well, I hope you're able to glean something, some insight from that. I have some mental notes for the next time I present that message where we'll add to it. But we talked about having faith and believing God, and you need to be in a position to do that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the question is, since that's true, how do you get to Jesus? Well, again, it's not hard. The Apostle Paul told us, it's simple. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. So why don't you make this confession with me? Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, went to hell in my place, and after 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you to come into my life, into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn to you and I ask you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that profession of faith according to the word of God, you just got born again. And I'd like to be the first person to welcome you into the kingdom of God. And the second thing I'd like to say to you is that we have free information that we want to give to you, to let you know who you've become in Christ, and just some other information, good information, it's free information that we want to send you. So we've put contact information on the screen for you. Use any of those methods that you that are convenient for you. And write us, let us know that you prayed with Pastor Greg and you got born again, and what's next? and we'll send you the information. Or if you have any questions about being born again or anything we share tonight, use the same contact information and contact me. You contact me, I will return. I'll get back to you. Probably won't be the same day you write, but I will get back to you in a timely manner.